Well, good morning. I'm Chris Garrett. I'm one of the pastors here. Super great to be with you on this holiday weekend. Glad that you're here. Whew. It's funny, I woke up this morning and I grabbed my sport coat out of my closet, my navy blazer that I often wear, and took it to church. You know, you keep on a hanger in your car and you don't put it on until, you know, men know this, you don't want to wrinkle it. Well, I pulled it out and I realized my son and I share the same closet. And guess whose jacket I had? So I'm feeling a little, you know, that was funny. God humbles us, you know. I literally said, don't iron your shirt. You're wearing a jacket today. All right, here we go to our passage. So we're continuing. Today is our final week in the series of the Lord's Prayer, which we just prayed. And it's been wonderful to walk through that. And today, we've kind of got a bit of a zinger text. And we're going to read actually the whole prayer again in just a moment. But it's dealing with a topic that it's really actually pretty amazing that Jesus says this at the very end of the Lord's Prayer. But you know, Jesus is actually all the time talking about temptation. Now, imagine if you were falsely accused of something and you knew that the religious or local police were about to come and arrest you and throw you in prison and abuse you and put you on a cross. What do you think the last thing that you might say to your family, your loved ones, your mom and dad? What would you say? You'd probably eke out, I don't know, what something, I love you, or I'm praying for you, something. Now, who knows what you'd say under that moment. But Jesus actually faced that same situation in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when the soldiers were closing in, he said to his disciples, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. So Jesus says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. You know, a bit earlier in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus said, woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it's necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. So Jesus is no stranger to talking about the reality of temptation. It's almost like in this day and age, most of us in our home and all of us at our schools or places of work, what do we have surrounding us that's invisible, but it's pretty much everywhere we go now? It's Wi-Fi, right? Kids, you have Wi-Fi at school. You know, I can't connect to the Wi-Fi. I can't connect. Which Wi-Fi do we get on? It's everywhere, but we can't always see it. We can't always discern that it's there. And yet Jesus is always talking to us like, hey, watch and pray. Temptation is there. It surrounds you all the time in this world. He wants us to be alert for this temptation. There's a story in the paper a number of years ago. It's a sad story. A man was on a dark road and he tragically hit someone and killed them and they died. And he kind of sped off alone in the darkness and no one witnessed it happen. But somehow through forensics, they were able to find him later. And they said, hey, what's the deal? He was convicted and sent to prison for life. And a reporter got to him in prison and said, hey, what's the deal? Like, what kind of person does this in the dark and then speds off and doesn't tell anybody? And the reason this man passed away was because you didn't stop and tell, you didn't even pick up your phone and call 911. Well, the man said, you know, it's a problem. It's a temptation I've had since I was a kid. It's actually a test that I faced when I was a little kid. You see, my dad had a really nice watch in his top drawer. Anybody ever do this? I did something like this when I was a kid. And he pulled it out. The man said he pulled it out, and unfortunately, he broke it. So he quickly put it back in the little bag and stuck it in the top drawer. But his dad found out, and he went to his kids and grilled them and said, who broke my watch? What do you think the little boy said? And he said, in that moment, I failed that test, and I learned the rest of my life that when a test came, when my innocence or guilt was on trial, to duck. That was the pattern that he set. And so by this one little mistake he made, by this choice and this temptation to lie or to tell the truth, he ducked and he didn't tell the truth. And that was a pattern that he continued the rest of his life. And tragically, it ended up, because of the way he failed that test, ended up with another man losing his life because he wouldn't fess up and call the authorities for help. Well, Jesus is teaching us that temptation surrounds us in this world and we can't see it. One writer says that living and praying are two sides of the same coin. It's not like, you know, I pray in my closet and then I live my real life in this world of temptation. No, it's both at the same time. We live in the real world, but also Jesus says be alert and pray, watch and pray that we don't enter into temptation as we walk through this world. This world is replete and saturated with temptation. So let's hear this passage one more time. I invite you, if you're able, to stand, and I'll read God's word for us. We're going to read Matthew 6, and we'll just read the whole prayer as we just prayed. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Verse 9, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is God's word. You may be seated. Pray with me. Our Father, it's a beautiful world that you've made, and there's so much beauty, and there's so much goodness, there's so much truth. But Father, you know it's a broken world. It's a world with death and loss, with temptation, with danger. And this is the world in which we live. You've called us to know you and to love you in this world. So Lord, please help us. Help us to hear the Lord Jesus, to be able to pray this prayer with hearts that really understand and can cry out that we need help. And we ask this, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, as I stand here with you this morning, I'm living in this real world just like you. All of us are surrounded by temptation, are we not? I shared with someone that we were covering this passage, someone not in this church, and you know, I told them the passage, and she said, it's the temptation part. I know full well all about that. It's the deliverance part I want to understand a little bit better. Said, you know, doesn't that resonate with all of us? We know temptation. We know success. We know loss. But we want the deliverance part. And so we're still living in this world before the Lord takes us home. And so today we're going to just focus on two big themes, danger and deliverance. Danger and deliverance. And that's how the Lord breaks it down for us here. First of all, the danger. Now, this term that's translated as temptation in our English Bible, that term can be translated in different ways depending on the context. For instance, in the book of James, chapter 1, James says, count it all joy when you enter various trials and tests. It's the same New Testament Greek word that's used here for temptation. But you know, we have to keep in mind, in the scriptures, even though it says like that God allowed Job to be tested, it never says that God tempts anyone. Scripture said God doesn't tempt anyone. God brings people through test to reveal what's in us. But the scriptures do not ever tell us that God tempts someone. So in this context, even though that word can be translated, lead us not into temptation / don't lead us not into test, it's really in the context of deliver us from the evil one that we can translate that word into temptation. Because again, God doesn't tempt us. God might test us, lead us in the test like that little boy that broke the watch. God brings tests and trials into our life, but in the context of the evil one, this is the language of temptation. Now, mystery upon mystery, temptation can come both from the outside and also from the inside. We saw that a little bit in Psalm 141, where David's talking about, hey, I've got evil, I've got people oppressing me, I've got temptation and dangers on the outside, but also he seems to be talking about evil that's in his own heart, that he needs deliverance from in his own heart. You know, we've got something that we wrestle with. Pastor Bob hinted at this last week, I believe, Galatians 5. It's the flesh. We wrestle against the flesh. The spirit and the flesh are at war one with another. And that's a sign that you're in the kingdom. If you are doing battle in your spirit, the world against the flesh. That, you know, some of you might feel discouraged. You come in this morning and say, oh, great, we're going to talk about temptation, failure. Oh, you know, another reason to throw myself under the bus. Well, no. That's actually good news. Rejoice if you feel that Galatians 5 stress, that Galatians 5 tension between the flesh and the spirit. In fact, I want to just turn there. You don't need to turn there, but I'll read it for you. Galatians 5, 16. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. But these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So again, be encouraged. If you're feeling that tension, it means that the Spirit is alive in you. Okay, so let's look at temptation for a minute. Temptation, we can think about it in a lot of different ways, but There was a Puritan guy in the 1600s who was affiliated with Oxford for a while, a guy named John Owen. And some of you have waded deeply into John Owen. He's really dense and super godly, super thoughtful guy. And I'm just going to try to simplify a little bit of what he says about temptation. He says this. He said, temptation is anything that has influence or effectiveness to draw a person's heart from obedience to God into any sin in any degree whatsoever. I'll say it again. So he's looking at the human heart, and he says, temptation is anything that has influence or effectiveness to draw a person's heart from obedience to God into any sin in any degree whatsoever. Now, for many of us, we might think, hey, I'm just going about my daily life. I got to go back to work tomorrow. It's a holiday weekend. You know, I'm not really thinking about temptation. But that's part of the problem. We deceive ourselves and we think, hey, I'll know when temptation comes. I'll be alert to it. It'll probably be like, you know, it'll be like a guardian, what do you call a truck that carries money to and from banks and grocery stores and things. It's like one of those trucks, you know, drives by and the black doors fly open and, you know, a whole ton of $100 bills fall out. Like, I'll be able to recognize that. And I know the Lord says, do not steal. So no problem. I'll be safe there. Well, the problem is temptation often is much more like a virus that we can't see. My mom was going to be here this morning. She got sick somewhere. You know, when your parents are a little bit older, you're like, well, Mom, how'd you get sick? Like, if she'd known where the virus was, probably she would have avoided it and not touched it or gotten sneezed on or whatever happened to her, right? Like, you know, how'd you get sick? Well, we can't see it. We don't know where that temptation's going to come. And so Jesus tells us to be alert to this thing that's going to come into our life. So we con ourselves when we think that we understand or will see temptation. Temptation typically operates in a way where we can't see it for what it does. And I'll talk about this in just a couple ways. So temptation comes both in it's packaged and its timing. It's packaging and its timing. So what about the Lord Jesus? So the Lord Jesus was tempted. He's taken out to the desert, and the devil comes and tempts him. He'd been fasting for 40 days. I mean, can you imagine? Like, how long can you fast before you get, like, really ornery and cranky, right? So try 40 days. Devil comes to him, and he cloaks the temptation in God's very words to Jesus. So Jesus is alert, though, right? And he answers Scripture back truthfully and stands on the truth of God's word. But it's packaged in a way that it's tempting to just kind of take that in. You know, it's super easy to want to rail against movies today or Netflix today or our crazy phones today, you know, all these things. And, you know, that's not really how we preach here so much. But yet there is a reality that the packaging of temptation in our modern context, I mean, golly day, you know, I've heard it said like a king from the 1300s, you know, never had nearly as much temptation with the world, the flesh, or the devil as just an average 20-year-old person or 50-year-old person with an iPhone today. Like, the things that come into our lives through the media, through our phones, through all this, like, it's never been seen before in the history of the world, the temptation that can come our way. And it's packaged. See, the packaging, it's interesting. And I fall prey to this. You know, you turn on Netflix, you're scrolling around like, hey, what do I want to watch? And they've got these little handy words. But you see how those words are handy and to describe what's in there? But are they really truthful? They'll say things like, well, this movie has a dark theme. You know, I'm not even going to describe what a dark theme is, but you can imagine in your mind, like, if you really start thinking about it, like, hey, that's a dark theme. Or it might say something like, it's gritty. Ooh, that's a gritty film. Like, you know, if you like gritty films, like, what's that really saying? Well, grown-ups, you know what that's really saying. And the question that Jesus asks us is, what kind of therapy is that gritty film doing on our hearts? It's a little bit like you go to a physical therapist and they work out your shoulder or your tendons or something. You know, they're trying to move tendons, or they're trying to shape you in some way to heal you, to strengthen you. Well, what kind of therapy do we let temptation do in our own hearts when we just innocuously believe the packaging and say, hey, you know, it's okay, it's dark, but it's not that bad, or it's gritty, but it's not that bad. Well, sometimes we might even think, even in our church, we say, well, I want to be living in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God extends to all things, and Christ reigns, and I don't have to be afraid of the world. And so I want to be in touch with things that are happening in the world. I've got to know what to talk about. Got to know what's on social media so I can relate to people at school. I can relate to people at work. And we just kind of take things in. And Jesus says, beware temptation. Deliver us from the evil one, because it is all around us. But there's something that the problem is that there's some things with this packaging that we are leaving out. And that's the reality of what this therapy can do on our own hearts. Well, what about comparison? What about comparison? Have you ever done this? Jesus says, beware temptation. What about comparison? It's like, well, I've got this little thing. It's kind of nibbling away at me. I feel a little bit of tension with my conscience about it. And I think I might do it, but at least, even if I do it, at least I'm not as bad as fill in the blank, so-and-so. You know, this person that I know, this person that I read about. At least I'm not nearly as bad as them. And we kind of self-justify ourselves, right? Like, oh, I'm actually okay because, you know, I'm not going to get engaged in this thing in a way that I've seen other people do. Or even perhaps it's a pacifier for us. If we are believers in Christ, we say, hey, you know, my conscience is a little bit tweaked here, but hey, Christ died for sins and he'll forgive me. And that's true, right? Is it not true? Amen. It is true. And yet that's not the full story, is it? That's not the full biblical story. Well, timing. What about timing? Temptation, the Lord is showing us here that temptation can come packaged in a way that the timing is curious and often difficult for us to respond to. What about if you've, as a mom, like you've really been super, super laboring for your family, you've really shown up for your family, you're faithful, you're consistent, you're sacrificial, and then some temptation comes your way, and you think, you know, maybe I deserve this. And dad's exact same way, of course, right? Or maybe there's been something that you've been, some open loop that you've been stressed about, or a conflict, or a debt, or strife, and then you've been praying for God to resolve it, and then in God's goodness, he chooses to resolve it for you. And this is the hard one. When God finally brings peace, finally gives you the answer to your prayer, whatever that is, and God says to you, all right, now I've given you what you wanted. Now that you have what you want, what am I to you? You see, that's often when we're tempted. Some of you said this to me, I've said it to other people. Often when I flounder spiritually is when things are going great. It's the timing. I endured that hard thing in church. I endured that hard minister thing. I endured that hard thing at work. I endured that hard thing in my family. Don't I deserve a little something? You know, the thing about praying this petition that Jesus gives us is we're not saying, God, put me in a world where those kind of temptations don't exist. That world doesn't exist. We don't live in a pretend world. But what we're asking is, Lord, don't let me be put into temptation that I simply cannot make it. I simply cannot pass the test. I cannot stand. Don't overwhelm me. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:13. So wonderful. No temptation has overcome you that's not common to man. God's faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. That verse has been such a help to me, and I know it's been a help to many of you. Perhaps you've come in this morning wrestling with some temptation in your own mind. You thought, you know, I can't tell anyone. I certainly can't admit that in church. Why? Because no one else ever struggles with something like that. There's no way anyone that I know struggles with that thing. And yet that's what the evil one would love, right? To kind of isolate us. And Paul here tells us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, hey, no temptation's overcome you that's not common to man. We're all just flesh, right? We've got the Spirit in us, but we battle with the residue of the flesh. And so God promises here that there is a way of escape. Well, what about deliverance? So we've talked about danger. Let's talk about deliverance. We'll talk about deliverance from and how. What are we being delivered from? You see in the ESV, if you're reading the ESV, it says, deliver us, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you have an NIV, some of you might have the NIV, what does it say? Deliver us from the evil one. Okay, so which is it? Is it the King James, the NIV, or is that right? Is it the evil one, or is it evil in general? Well, a couple pointers here. One, Jesus never talks about evil in just kind of a disembodied, ambiguous state, like, ah, oh, there's some bad stuff out there. Now, Jesus, when he talks about evil, he speaks of a personal, malevolent, evil one. But also, the same word is translated, this exact same word for deliver us from evil, that word evil, a couple other places as the evil one. John 17, 15, and 2 Thessalonians 3, 3. They both translate it as the evil one. So there's no real conflict here, because think about it. What does the evil one want you to do? The evil one wants to wreck evil in your life. The evil one wants you to do evil and destroy your life and blow up your family. And so it's the same thing either way. Is the evil one, deliver us from the evil one, deliver us from evil? Both ways, there's strategy behind it. There's malevolence behind it. This evil force is not the opposite of God, because there is no opposite of God, but it's more like an evil archangel, the opposite of an archangel or something, that there's this malevolent hatred towards God's people. Well, by what means will we be delivered? By what means will we be delivered? I can handle it. I can handle temptation. I can watch that. I can do that thing. I can associate with those people. Well, I believe that scriptures tell us that it's not our own strength. It's not our own strength. John Owen, again, says a couple things. He says that one way that we try to deliver ourselves is by a sense of personal reputation and honor. He says, you know, you think, oh, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, or I go to a Christian school, or I go to FCA at my high school, and people know me as a Christian in my, I'm associated with a Christian wherever I live or work or go to school. And so I wouldn't dare violate that. There's no way that I would fall into sin because people know me as a Christian. And John Owen says, if you go down that road, consider Judas Iscariot. Judas, the betrayer, was an apostle. He proclaimed the gospel. He worked with Jesus. He saw miracles. He was known as a Christian. He was one of the 12. And yet, in the end, he betrayed Jesus. Secondly, John Owen talks about a sense of shame or loss. This thought of, oh, I could never let myself do that thing. I'm strong enough on my own. I can never do that sin. Why? Because it'd be bring too much shame upon me. It'd be too embarrassing to me. And he says, if you go down that road and harden your heart, you'll reach a point where you don't care who finds out. And many of us know people like that they go down a road further and further and realize that, you know, shame is gone. That's just kind of the choices that they've made. Or you think about King David. King David committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband murdered. And he kind of had this artificial peace. He had this kind of, he tried to make peace. He said, well, you know, it's okay. You know, I'll marry her, bring her into the kingdom, and let's let the dust settle. And this was a false peace, but God disrupted it. He brought a prophet to him to expose his heart, to move him towards real peace. So we can't count on a self-generated peace or the thought that we'll avoid shame in the moment. We can't deliver ourselves. But we've got great news this morning, don't we? We've got great news. God can deliver us. Our flesh can't deliver us. Many of us have tried for many years to let our flesh deliver us, but it can't. God can deliver us. The Lord Jesus grew up as an Israelite singing the Psalms, and I commend them. If it's been a while since you've flipped through the Psalms, I commend them to you again to read. Psalm 141 is a great one. We'll touch on a couple others here. Sometimes in the Psalms, it's the Lord, deliver us from the enemy. Deliver us from the sword, Psalm 141. Deliver us from pestilence or famine. But sometimes the psalmists are praying, Lord, deliver me. Deliver me from me. Deliver me from myself. It's the inside that the psalmist is crying out. Psalm 39, deliver me from all my transgressions. Not the Philistines, not the Babylonians. Deliver me. The psalmist says, evils have encompassed me beyond number. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They're more than the hairs of my head. My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Well, we're delivered by God. We're delivered by God. So how are we delivered by God? Well, this is a precious truth, and yet we never get tired of hearing it, do we? The Lord Jesus himself was betrayed right after he told his disciples to watch and pray that they might not enter into temptation. He was delivered, he was betrayed, delivered up to the Roman soldiers. They're mocking him, they're accusing him, and they say, if he's the Son of God, let God deliver him. And then God does. He delivers him not in this life, but then resurrects him. He delivers him from death, from the power of death and sin and the devil. He resurrects him. And the scriptures tell us that if you're in Christ, you too have been resurrected. That he delivers us from this body of sin. Think about that great lyric. We mention it from time to time. Rock of ages, cleft for me. There's something powerful in there. The hymn writer says, God, be of sin the double cure. Be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Now go back to that moment when you're thinking about this tension. You're kind of rattling in your head. Should I do this thing? Should I not do that thing? You know, what am I strong enough? Can I endure this temptation? Can I not endure this temptation? We've got good news in that moment. God says that Christ defeated the power of Satan so that we don't, in our own flesh, have to battle that. We don't have to say, I don't know, I think I'm going to linger on that thought a little more. But rather, God has broken the power of that temptation in our life. Doesn't mean that we won't sin, doesn't mean we won't stumble or struggle, but God has broken the power of sin. So let's be encouraged this morning. Let's think about this for a minute. God has not just taken away the guilt of our sin, but he's broken the power. So let's look at just a couple quick ways. We can change the channel, literally. Like, we don't have to get up anymore. If you're, you know, grew up like me, you had to get up and change the channel, you know, a million years ago. But now, you know, you can change the channel with a remote. We don't have to escalate into that thing, whether it's whatever it is, your thoughts, your judgment, your anger, your outburst, your language. We don't have to let the phone have that much real estate in our day, in our insides. We don't have to demand that our children perform at a certain level for us to feel okay about ourselves. Ooh. We can say no to that. We can be okay if they don't live up to whatever dreams or hopes or prayers we might have. We can know that they're accepted in Christ and we're accepted in Christ. And even the thing that has its hooks into me, like at the level of addiction, so much addiction that perhaps you might feel like, I wouldn't even know who I was if this wasn't in my life. Christ broke the power of even needing that. This is good news this morning, friends. Well, a Scottish pastor named Thomas Chalmers preached a well-known sermon. Some of you have heard this. He called it the expulsive power of a new affection. Expulsive, not explosive. The expulsive power of a new affection. It's really, it's an amazing concept. I've heard about this sermon for 30 years, and I think I'm just maybe beginning to understand this a tiny bit. But expulsive, the word means to expel. It's used infrequently, but today, it means to expel something. So how do we get rid of our bad affections? How do we get rid of our judgmentalism? How do we get rid of our sins of our body, of our mind, of our heart? Well, Chalmers tells us that it's only by finding a new love, a new affection. That's what drives out, that's what enables us to overcome temptation. The only way to get over a bad love, he says, is to have a new love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how does that happen? Well, it happens through just the daily disciplines, the time in the Word, the time in prayer, fellowship, coming to the table, being in fellowship with other believers, reminding ourselves of who you are in Christ, that Christ has done a work, that he's broken the power of sin and temptation in your life. So this sermon really, it really is not a sermon to say, hey, don't do bad things, do good things. That's the scriptures and Jesus are so much wiser than that. That's not what the scriptures are telling us. Of course, at one level, that's true. Let's obey God. Let's not disobey God. Let's not do evil things. But really, I believe when Jesus is giving us this prayer, he wants us to know God, to know God more fully and more deeply and to be close to him. Because in that new affection, in that deepening affection, that is the way that he can drive out and overcome these temptations that beset us. So a couple of diagnostic questions for us about our temptations, things that we need deliverance from. What is up underneath those things that we run to on our devices? What's underneath that need to watch that particular kind of movie? What's up underneath those pain pills? What's up underneath that need to have more, to be more, or that thing, that anger that we display? What is driving that? Well, in some ways and in all ways, those are just idols. Idol is our heart. And this idea of the expulsive power of a new affection, I believe Jesus wants us to focus less on that and more on him and his kingdom. And as we do, as we deepen our love for Christ through singing the beautiful music we've had this morning, through prayer, through reading our lives through the scripture of reading our lives through the lens of scripture, God can renew us and give us that heart for him. You know, one day the evil one will be destroyed, right? Isn't that going to be an awesome day? One day Christ will return and finally destroy the evil one. And when he renews the new heaven and earth, we will walk in this life, but in the life to come, in our bodies, in a renewed world, but our hearts will be changed and we won't have to deal with temptation, sin, distance from God. And we'll have no capacity even to yield to it. That's where we're heading, friends. So pour your hearts back to God. He hears you. He loves you. He wants you to know him even deeper today. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for teaching us how to pray. This is such a simple prayer, but it's so powerful. You are our rabbi, our Lord. Please don't lead us into temptation that would overwhelm us. Deliver us from the evil one. Deliver us from the evil in our own hearts. We pray that the Lord Jesus would remain high and lifted up, that we might know and love and enjoy him forever. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.